your handouts? Does anybody not have notes that go along with the message? Just raise your hand. Okay, we got Joseph over here. Can we get, Stan's going to go get some. Yeah, just keep your hands up. There we go. They're coming. Keep your hands up high. They're coming. So you got Joseph over here, three in the middle, one over here. I want you guys to have those. We're going to use those today. Oh, man, that was such good worship. My heart is still in worship mode right now, so it's hard to talk. It's one of those times. I'll get into it here in just a second. You guys know what that's like? When you're just like enjoying God, and then all of a sudden you got to talk to people, and it's kind of like, oh, man, my heart's still over here in this conversation. And man. Yeah. Oh, Jesus. I love you. I love you. I love you. Jesus. I love you. 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 My heart is exploding to tell you how much I love you. 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 Thank you, Jesus. Well, I want to introduce to you a friend of mine that I met about, I don't know, 3 or 4 weeks ago. This is Jordan. How long do you think, Jordan? Was it like 3 or 4 weeks ago I met you? A month ago? Okay. So, can I just have you stand up real quick? Sorry to embarrass you, man. He's a good-looking guy, isn't he? Good-looking guy. And this Jordan is, I met him about a month ago, and we've been getting together a couple times a week for last month, and I just, like, God is doing awesome stuff in Jordan. I'm so proud of you, Jordan, honestly. Like, he's just making some powerful choices to walk in the light, and I'm so proud of him for that. And he's got a heart of worship, this guy. I love this guy. He's got a heart of worship. He's so tender to the Lord. We'll just be in his apartment, and we'll start praying. And he'll just, from his heart, he's in Spanish, so I don't understand what he's saying. But he's just earnestly praying to the Lord and connecting, and it's so beautiful to watch. But I just wanted to let you meet Jordan. He's amazing. So we love you. You're part of the family, dude. So super glad you're here. So awesome. You can have a seat. And then Joseph is getting baptized today. Praise the Lord. So proud of you. And I'll just have you stand up too, Joseph. Why don't you stand up too? And I just want to tell you, Joseph, honestly, and I know I speak because I've had so many people share this with me even, we're so proud of you. Like, we're so proud of you. You're so courageous to just set aside your old identity and to walk in your new identity in Jesus. That is a courageous man of God, and I'm so proud of you, dude. And we honestly, I wish you could, I told you this earlier, I wish I could make it possible where you could see what I feel in my heart for you. We definitely need it. Good. We'll do it. And we're so proud of you, and we love you so much. So we're excited for you to get baptized today. So, amen. So you can have a seat. So we're doing a baptism today. Immediately after service, we'll drive to the Super 8 Hotel. And you're all welcome, invited to come and celebrate with our brother in the Lord, Joseph. And he's going to get baptized, so that'll be good. So I'm going to talk to you today about experiencing God in His Word. I'm continuing the series I started last week called Experiencing God. And I'll just tell you this, you can't live for, like, Christianity is 100, it is experiential. It's absolutely experiential. And anyone who would say that Christianity, it's just like a religion where you do this, don't do this, don't do this, and, you know, you check off the list and I've been good. That, without relationship with God, is nothing. That's not Christianity. Christianity is a real relationship with God, who's a living being. He's alive. Jesus is a person. Amen? He's fully God, but fully a man. And, you know, it would be like this. To say Christianity is not experiential, it would be like saying marriage is not experiential. I mean, can you imagine, like, somebody saying, oh yeah, I'm married. And it's like, well, if you're married, you'd be like, well, tell me about your spouse. What's their personality like? What makes them laugh? What kind of things do they like that get them excited? What are they passionate about? You know, what do they not like? What are the things that grieve them and they don't like? Right? And you know the person because there's a relationship. You experience each other. You experience life together. And it's the same way with God. Somebody who says, I have a relationship with God, I should be able to ask you, tell me what he's like. What's his personality like? You've experienced him. You have a relationship. What's something he said to you? Well, I don't know if he ever speaks to me. How do you have a relationship with somebody that you never interact with? It's like you can't have a relationship with him without hearing his voice. So what makes him happy? What is he passionate about? What are his convictions? What things grieve him? He's alive. Amen. It's experiential. Christianity is, and we need to experience God. So that's what I'm talking about in this series. And I shared last week, passion for Jesus comes from experiencing God. Is you can't just work up passion and say, I'm going to be passionate. The only thing you can do is position your heart to encounter God. And then God reveals his love to you, reveals himself to you. And when you experience his love, it awakens passionate love for him in your own heart. And you just fall in love, like to know him is to love him. And it's like, oh, you're so wonderful. And then you just want more and more. And you want to, I want to do that again. Can I have that? When I got saved, I told you my story last week. I was like, I want to do this again every single day for the rest of my life. I was like, all the time, I want to feel you like I just felt you. Because that, wow, I had no idea that existed. That was amazing. So I want to talk to you about experiencing God in his word. This is one practical thing that you can do to position your heart to see God and to hear his voice and to be changed by his presence. Amen. And I just want to start off. I did this last week. I just have my heart. I want to do it again. I want you guys to agree with me in prayer right at the beginning of this message, because again, just like last week, everything I'm going to say to you today, most of you probably already know. You'll probably be able to finish my sentences. This is nothing new. This is just Christianity 101, which is so profound. And I find this, it's like I'm going to talk about encountering God in his word, but it's going to be such a familiar message. Let's pray that God would give us ears to hear it again, like we're hearing it for the first time, that it would impact our hearts and lives like we were hearing it for the first time. Because here, some of you, I'm going to talk about experiencing God in his word. Some of you, you've heard this message before and you put it into practice and you've been doing it for years. And now it's going to be like fresh fire. You're going to be like, amen, that is so true. I've experienced that. And it's going to stir up faith in your heart afresh to recommit and keep going. Because you're like, that is true. I've experienced it. Others of you, you've heard this message and you've not put it into practice. And you'll be like, yeah, that's good, but you just not put it into practice in a diligent way. And the danger is this, is that you would hear it again and say amen, but then go away and not put it into practice again. And the danger of that is when we hear the word of God and we don't put it into practice, our hearts become hardened slowly. They start become callous to the message. And because we think we're doing it because we agree with it, but we're not actually obeying it. And so we're not experiencing the power of it in our life until we do it. Are you guys with me? Does that make sense? Yes? Okay. Others, you're going to hear it. It'd be your first time maybe hearing this. And you're going to be inspired. You're going to be like, oh, I can hear God's voice every single day of my life. I can be strong in the Lord. I can experience in God just by reading the Bible regularly. You're going to be excited. Faith is going to come into your heart. You're going to start doing it. And in the next 3 or 4 months, you're going to have so many experiences with God just by doing what we say. So let's just pray and ask God that he would help us. I want to encourage you, if you've heard this message 1,000 times and you've not, and you're like, man, I'm one of those people who have not really been good at reading the Bible, God can give you grace right now. Hear it and put it into practice today. Just say, God, forgive me for not putting this into practice and making it a priority in my life to this point. I repent. Guess what? Sin is forgiven. Start today. And it will work for you. There's going to be grace. So Holy Spirit, we just come to you. And I ask God that you would give us grace and soften our hearts to hear this message, this truth, and apply it in our lives for the rest of our lives. God, to read the Bible, to obey the Bible, to believe the Bible, to understand the Bible, that we would know you and develop a rich relationship with you. In Jesus' name, amen. So I'm going to start off by saying this, and this is on your sheet. Bible reading with a right spirit, that's a key qualifier, is a major way to position our hearts to experience God. That's on your sheet. It's a blank on your sheet. You probably want to put that in there. Bible reading with a right attitude, it's a major way that we position our heart to see and experience God. The simple act of reading the Bible. I'm going to make another statement. This is a bold statement, but it's thought through and it's true. So I want you to hear it. Every single time that you read the Bible, you are having an encounter with God. Think about that. It doesn't matter if you feel anything. Every single time you read the Bible, you are right then, you're having an encounter with God. God's voice is always speaking to you every time you read the Bible. Most of the time, it's very subtle in terms of the experiencing your experience you're having with God. Most of the time, it's subtle. Sometimes it's dramatic. I like the dramatic, amen? Dramatic is fun, but I'm going to tell you something. If you will learn to value the subtle daily, many times daily, almost continual daily if we pay attention, there's those subtle encounters with the Lord. And if we'll learn to treasure those and how to surf those little waves, they turn into bigger waves and bigger encounters. And they add up over time. You have those 4 or 5 little whispers, little phrases, little exhortations, encouragements in your spirit from the Lord throughout the day. Over the course of a week, you've got like 20, 25 encounters with the Lord. And if you put it into practice and walk it out, I mean, your life gets changed in a serious way over the course of 3 to 4 months just by valuing those little encounters. I'll just give you some examples of I want to talk about this because I was talking to a guy, an awesome Christian guy, probably a couple months ago, and he was just asking me questions about feeling God and hearing God's voice. Because sometimes I'll go places and I'll talk and I share stories a lot about encounters I've had with God. And as I'm talking, they're like, I don't think I ever hear God like that. I don't think I ever feel God like. And they think, like, is it because, like, there's something special about me and God's just not speaking to them the same way? I'm like, no, absolutely not. I was like, I'll probably tell you this. You are actually having experiences with God more than you think, but you're not recognizing them. He's speaking to you. He's moving on your heart, but you don't realize that's the Holy Spirit. And if we can learn to recognize those little whispers of the Spirit, those little nudgings of the presence of the Lord, if we can learn to recognize it and then pay attention to it and flow with it, All of a sudden you realize I'm having all these encounters with God. It's so powerful. And so that's why I want to build your faith this morning. So I remember when just this week, Thursday was a good day. I was doing my Bible reading. How many of you guys are doing the Bible reading three chapters a day thing that we're doing? How many of you are still doing that? Okay, good. Awesome. Well, I was doing that and loving it, turning to there, and I was reading in Leviticus chapter 4. Now, actually, I've heard some people say you can't hear anything from God out of Leviticus. But that's not true. See all those red marks? That's me hearing from God in Leviticus. And I'm reading about, like, the garments that he's making for the priest. Now, I'm just reading along, and God revealed his holiness to me. It's like, who is God? What is he like? How do you get to know him? He revealed his holiness to me, and he taught me about godly leadership on Thursday through the Bible reading. And I'm reading in Leviticus, and I'm just, you know, making a few marks and making a few notes. It's just kind of going along normal, nothing dramatic. But then I get to this verse, and it talks about the garments that the priests have to wear. I'm sorry, it's not Leviticus 4. What chapter is it? There it is. Sorry, it's Exodus chapter 39. Okay, and so it's clothing for the priest. So I'm reading about like what the priest is going to wear, and as I'm reading it, I come to verse 30. Just a normal time, just reading along, ho-hum, okay, this is good. He made tunics for Aaron, etc. Then it says, finally, they made the sacred medallion, the badge of holiness. I was like, whoa, I want one of those. I mean, come on, that's cool. You know, what if God just came up to you and was like, I made this just for you. Wear it with pride, son. I'd be like, badge of holiness, baby. I belong to the Lord. And I'm just like, this guy gets to wear this stuff. It's a badge of holiness of pure gold that they engraved it like a seal with these words, holy to the Lord. Oh, and I'm like, wham, it just that word hit my heart. I'm just reading along, normal, the clothes that this guy wears. But all of a sudden, this hits my heart. And listen, the Holy Spirit lives inside of you if you follow Jesus. And he causes phrases. You'll be reading the Bible. It's just going along. Okay. And all of a sudden, there'll be something that just, whoa, it hits your heart. It makes you happy. And I just wrote in my Bible, I'm just like, yes, I love this. I am chosen to be consecrated to God. I am set apart as holy to the Lord. Isn't that a joy? What a privilege. I am his. I am for his pleasure and for his glory. And I just wrote this in my Bible. That's what hit to me. It's like, I am holy to the Lord. I'm set apart. I'm not like every other person that lives for everybody else and that just gives myself away and lets the devil destroy my life and gives myself to sin. I am set apart for God's pleasure. I am holy to the Lord. Hit my heart. But you know what? It was just reading along. And then I read this one verse, and my heart got happy. God talked to me. That's what happened. That was an experience with God. But you know, here's a cool thing. I'll go more. I'll talk more about this in a little bit. I'll come back to it. But I remember another time, I'll just give you a different example of how I encountered God in the Word. I remember, I could tell you, honestly, literally, I could probably tell you thousands of stories if I could remember them all. Of the experiences I've had with God, dramatic, medium, and subtle, just by reading the Bible. I remember one time being at Autumn's parents' house, and I was just in the bedroom, and I was reading Romans, the book of Romans, and I don't even remember what verse it was now, but I was reading something, and I remember my heart was burning inside of me with desire to tell. I'm like, God, I wish I could sit down in a one-on-one conversation with every person in the world. Give me 30 minutes that I could just share the gospel with every single person in a way that they would understand it. If I could just lay it before them, the facts, like, this is the reality of what you're facing. This is who you are. This is who he made you to be. This is what you're going to be facing because of your sin. This is what he did for you. This is how he feels about you. And this is where you could be if you'll turn and follow Jesus. I mean, I was just, my heart was burning and I'm praying, oh God, let me share the gospel. Let me share the gospel. And you know what happened? God was taking his passion as an evangelist, as a man, God's heart burns with desire that every person in the world would know him and know the good news of Jesus. And just by reading the book of Romans, he took his flaming heart of love and he put it inside of me and caused my heart to burn with that same fire. It's like, whoa, how did I get passionate for sharing the gospel with people? Because I interact with the one who's passionate about every person knowing the gospel. The one who died for every person that they would be saved. And you interact with him just reading the book of Romans. And he takes his flaming heart and puts it inside of you. That's how you become passionate for God. Is this making sense? Because I feel it now. I want to just take my heart and put it in you. I want a flaming heart. And I know you guys have this too, but it's how I feel right now. God, I ask that your flaming heart, let's just pray that. Holy Spirit, I pray that your flaming heart of passion for God, passion for holiness, passion for the kingdom of God, passion for souls to be saved, passion for the Great Commission to be completed and everyone to know, to hear the gospel. God, take your flaming heart and put it in us. Cause our hearts to burn with desire for you and your kingdom. In Jesus' name, amen. I remember another time I was a brand new Christian at this point. I had been serving the Lord for maybe a few months. And I'm reading my Bible, because right away my pastors taught me to read the Bible. And as I'm reading the Bible, I'm in the book of Proverbs, and I'm reading along, and all of a sudden I come to this verse, and I don't even remember which verse it was, but I just remember it basically said something along the lines of, God doesn't like cheating. And I was like, then the Holy Spirit within me was like, boom, that verse just hit me. This one didn't make me as happy, though. It made me convicted. Because I was in high school, and I was a constant cheat. I mean, I cheated so frequently on my tests and on my homework assignments and different things like that. It was so normal in my school my junior year. It was a very normal thing. We would just, I had this assignment due. I'm like, oh, I got to turn it in. Just get somebody else's paper that actually did it, copy their answers, change one or two of them so it's not exactly the same because, you know, even an 80 is better than a zero. So you just turn it in, done, right? And get by. I wasn't really that ambitious to have the best grades in the world. I just wanted to, you know, just get done and get what I need to do what I want to do. So I did that regularly. And then now I'm a Christian and I'm reading the Bible and I realize, oh, God doesn't like that. And I'm like, huh, okay, well, I guess I'm going to have to stop cheating because I love Jesus. And so I told the Lord, I responded to the voice of God speaking to me in that verse. I said, God, help me. I'm not going to cheat anymore. Help me not to do it. And then I go back to school. I remember being at school. Other people are cheating. I'm not. I just, now I have to do my work. Actually. And so I was like, I'll do my work. And do you know what? The Lord blessed me in two ways. One, he helped me to obey him. I didn't cheat. Second, I got a 4.0 GPA. That's first semester back to school for the first time in my entire life. I'd never got a 4.0 GPA before. And I was like, wow, this is amazing. And the next semester, I got like one of the second highest GPAs I'd ever got. It was like a 3.8 or something. It was like, for me, that was... Some of you are just like, 3.8, man, bad semester. But for me, I was like, 3.8, man. I mean, wow. I'm just 3.0 I was happy with. And I was like, man, I made it. This is awesome. And it was a testimony to me. I'm like, if I honor God and what he says to do, he'll bless me and he'll bless the work of my hands and I'll be successful if I put him first and obeying his word. And I had that encounter with the Lord that actually God used that early encounter with him to build this bedrock understanding in my heart. He said, Jeff, if you will honor my word, I will always bless you in the work of your hands, and it will go well with you. And I believe that, not just because my pastor told me, because God told me, and then I put it into practice, and I encountered the God who fulfilled the promise. And when I experienced him, I'm like, yes, this is true. And that has followed me all the days of my life ever since. I know now with deep conviction, all I got to do is honor God and he'll bless me. I'm going to just make this statement here. You guys still with me? Okay. We're going to get practical in a little bit. I'm going to have exercises for you to do. So just hang with me for a little bit longer. I want to make this statement. Most, and this is so important, I want you to get this. That's why I'm hanging on this point for a little while. Most of our experiences with God start out very subtle. We must learn to recognize his voice and ride those encounters to deeper places. We need to practice the presence of God and learn to surf the waves of the Spirit, so to speak, whether they're large or small. I mean, I just have such a passion about this because I know it's true. I remember early in my walk with the Lord, like first several years, I'd read in the Bible about Abraham hearing God's voice. I'm like, I don't think I hear God like that. I'm like, God, I want to hear, like, Abraham heard you really clearly on some things. I'm like, God, would you just sit down and just look at me and say it? Talk to me, like audible voice. You know what I mean? And the reality was, is I remember actually having that conversation with the Lord. You feel the same way? Yeah. And so I'd had that conversation with him. And I remember, now I look back, I'm like, I hear God's voice all the time. I was hearing God's voice all the time then. I just didn't recognize that was him. And over the years, as you practice the presence of God, as you read his word, and you learn to recognize the voice of the Spirit and discern what is not the voice of the Spirit so you can ignore it. That's important too. But when you learn what he's like, you learn to recognize his thoughts that come from him easier. And it's a process that you grow in. And so I'm just going to give you an example. This is just from this is from Thursday morning, my time with the Lord. I got up, I spend my time with the Lord. Thursday was a really good time with the Lord, but I have really good times with the Lord. Most of the time they're pretty good. Every once in a while it's just like, well, I did it. And I didn't really feel much. Anyway, this wasn't that unusual. So I'm just saying this is pretty normal. That's why I wanted to share this with you. But I'm illustrating this point. Most of the time, our encounters start out subtle, and we learn to recognize and then flow with it, and they go deeper. So Thursday morning, I remember it was early. I came to pray because I just woke up. I woke up really early, and it's dark out. And I'm feeling really tired and distracted. Can I get a witness? Anybody else felt like that before? You come in to pray, and like I'm still not feeling like I'm fully awake yet. I'm still kind of got the cobwebs and just trying to wake up, groggy. And I feel tired and a little distracted. And so I'm there, and I'm like, okay, I got to pray. And I have my prayer plan, what I'm going to do. And I'm like, okay, like my first 10 minutes, I'm supposed to worship. So I'm like, okay, I'm going to worship. But I'm just kind of, huh. But then all of a sudden, out of the blue, I hear this chorus of a song come into my heart, and a worship song, an old worship song that I haven't sang in a while, but it's, in moments like these, I sing out a song, I sing out a love song to Jesus. You guys know that one? Nobody knows that one? Oh, man. That's because it's so old. It really is old. But that song came into my heart. And because from experience, from my history with the Lord of 25 years, I recognize that when a worship song suddenly comes into my mind, it's the Holy Spirit. Did you know that? When a worship song suddenly comes into your mind, it's the Holy Spirit bringing it to your mind. And I've learned that over the years. And so I was like, oh, that must be the Lord, even though I wasn't feeling anything. So I just kind of started singing it in my wake-up groggy voice. It doesn't sound beautiful, but the heart does to God. So I'm like, I start singing it. And then as I sang it, I felt a little bit of the presence of God. My mind started clearing a little bit and focusing a little better on the Lord and getting less distracted. And so I just kept singing it for a few minutes. And then as I'm singing that song to the Lord, all of a sudden this phrase pops into my mind, first love, first love. And then because of experience, I know from the Lord, I was thinking of, I want Jesus to be my first love. And I knew that was the Holy Spirit, just first love. That thought came into my mind. So then I started singing a song to the Lord based upon that phrase. I made up my own words. I just said, be my first love. See, and as I kept singing it, then my mind just focused more and more. I started feeling his presence even more. So I'm like, okay, I'm just going to keep riding this wave. Be my first love. And I just sang that phrase to him over and over again for a few minutes. And then I just kept singing this spontaneous song. And then I started singing, wash me in your blood, cleanse me from my sin, fill me with Holy Spirit, and help me to love. Now, I just made that song up. But as I was just singing to the Lord, and I just, this intense desire started rising up in my heart at that moment when I sang, be my first love. And I started thinking, yes, I need to be washed and cleansed in the blood of Jesus. I need to be full of the Holy Spirit. Help me to love the way you love. Like, this was what was stirring in me. It was the Holy Spirit. And so as I sang it and expressed it to the Lord, it grew stronger in with me. And now, you know what's happening? I'm in a full-on experience with the Holy Spirit. And it started just subtle. A little chorus came into my mind. I just kept singing that spontaneous song, same line, over and over again for about 15 to 20 minutes. And then I'd intermingled, and I'd stop for a little bit, pray in tongues. And then I'd sing that song again, be my first love. Then I'd sing in tongues. And I just kept doing that. And by the end of that time, I was focused on the Lord. But it started off as this very subtle encounter. And see, a lot of times, most people, when we're first starting out, we think encounter with God, we're thinking something dramatic, right? We're thinking an angel standing in front of you, right? Or we're thinking like God says, you are my beloved son in whom I'm well pleased. And it's like, oh, that was awesome. But you know what? When you know God's heart, the better you get to know him. I can just, right now, I can stop and just think upon the phrase that the Father said to Jesus. And I know it's also true about me and Jesus. So I just say, I thank you. I'm your beloved son in whom you're well pleased. And then that hits my heart when I just meditate on the truth. I hope this is practical and helpful. So then on Thursday morning, I got done praying for a little bit. Then it's time to read my Bible. I sit down. I'm just reading along. And I told you this story. And then I'm making a few notes. And then all of a sudden, verse 30 grabbed my heart. I read that to you earlier about being holy to the Lord. But I got to tell you the rest of that story. It started off, I'm like, oh, but then I just kept reading. I prayed for a while. I'm like, God, I want to be holy to the Lord. I'm set apart for your pleasure. And the passion was being stirred in me. And then I just kept reading in the rest of Exodus. And as I'm reading, it just goes on and on. And then the glory comes down as when they finally construct the tabernacle and the glory descends. And it just turned into this, erupted into a 30 to 45 minute time of worshiping God for his holiness, for the splendor and the beauty of who he is and his holiness. And I got this whole passionate revelation of the beauty of his holiness just from that one verse, just reading along on a normal morning. But then it hit my heart, and I recognize when something hits your heart, the Spirit's on it. Pause and lock onto it, and it will grow. You guys with me? I hope you are. The reason I'm taking time to share all this is because I want you to see how simple and practical it is to practice the presence of God. I promise you he's speaking to you. I promise you he's speaking to you. But so many times we're so distracted, we're so thinking, our mind's running on all these other things that we're not listening to his voice. Do you know in this room right now, there are, I would guess, hundreds of different radio frequencies that are going through this room playing all kinds. There's probably country songs that are playing in this room right now. There's probably rock and roll songs playing. There's probably talk radio that's playing right now. There's probably sports radio in this room right now. But none of us are hearing it because we're not tuned into that frequency. You guys with me? And a lot of times in life, you know, we're thinking about this, we're thinking about this, but the Lord is speaking, but we're not tuning in.
And when you get born again, the Holy Spirit comes to live inside of you, and now you have the capability, you have the antenna, so to speak, to be able to tune into his voice. And then it's just a matter of, like, I encourage you to take I love you, Jesus breaks. 30-second I love you, Jesus breaks throughout the day. This is a great way to practice the presence of God. Do it 5 or 6 times a day in the middle of your day, whatever you're doing. Stop 30 seconds and just say, thank you that you love me. I love you, God. Amen. And then keep going with your day. And just that little thing, just stopping and tuning in for 30 seconds, it'd jump your heart into a conversation with the Spirit that actually, if possible, if you're not in the middle of something else, as you're going, it's like that conversation continues, that experience with God continues. All right, I want to give you practical advice for experiencing God in the Bible. So this is in your notes. I just want to share these things really quick, and I'm going to have you practice, and then I'll let you go. This is a training time now. This is a passion in my heart. This is why I do this training time, is because I'm so thankful that my pastors taught me how to read the Bible for myself regularly when I was first saved, and I got into that habit right away. And not perfectly. I mean, I'd, you know, miss a couple days, then do a day, and then, you know, do a couple days and miss another couple days and then do a day. But it was important to me, and I would always come back to it and do it again. Even if I missed a week, I'd be like, no, I am going to be a man of the word. And I want you to have that vision for your life. I'm going to be a person of the word. I'm going to be somebody who reads the Bible and knows it well and is believing and obeying the word. I want to be a person of the word. And it's a choice. All of you can be. So number one, pray and ask the Holy Spirit to teach you and help you understand what you're about to read. When you're going to read the Bible, often I do this. I'll just say, Holy Spirit, you wrote this thing. Help me understand what I'm about to read. Talk to me. Let me hear your voice through this word. Wouldn't it be handy, like any other book that was like written by the biggest genius that's ever existed, and you're about to read it, and there's all this wisdom in this book that can really help you in life. But then you read stuff, you're like, I don't get this part, I don't get this part, I don't get this part. But what if you had the person who wrote it, the genius, who was always with you all the time, and at any time you could just stop and say, tell me what you meant here, because I don't get this. And then they could explain it to you. You'd be like, oh, I get that. That's amazing. Like, that's profound, you know? And guys, that's how it is with the Bible. The Holy Spirit, the author, is in you. At any moment, you could just say, God, help me understand this. So talk to him and help him, ask his help. Number two, and then after you ask God to teach you and help you understand, you have to approach God's word with the right attitude. This is huge. Oh, man. Hey, Autumn, there's one of my books, Relentless Passion, is in that room to the right. Just walk in to the right. Can you grab me a copy? I meant to bring a copy up. I want to read an excerpt. Okay, are you guys still with me? Approaching God's word with the right attitude is a big deal. Because here's what the right attitude looks like. It looks like humility, submission, and being teachable before God. When we read the Bible, we humble ourselves before God. We put we come with an attitude of submission. Like, God, whatever you say is right. It's like, I don't even know what I'm about to read, but I just know before I even start, I'm telling you, this is my heart posture. I agree with it. You're right. And if I read anything that contradicts what I thought was true, I'm wrong and I'm going to agree with you. You guys with me? And if there's something I'm doing in life that contradicts the way you say to live in here, I'm going to change because you're right and you're perfect and you're beautiful and you're in the process of making me that way, right? And so we have this attitude, this posture of submission to the word of God, even before we start reading it. You know, any other book that you read, even Christian books, it's not all the inspired word of God. So it's not like we evaluate it, and if it agrees with what God says in his word, we're like, man, that's really helpful. That's a great way to say that. It agrees with what God's word says. I receive it. I'm going to put it into practice. You guys with me? But we got to discern, because if you read something, you're like, that's not what the Bible says. That's the opposite of what the Bible says. Then we don't receive it. We just flush it out of our mind. You guys with me? And we keep the good, and we discern it by the word of God. But the Bible's not that way. The Bible, the whole thing, every single part of the Bible is inspired by God himself. It's all the authoritative word of God. And so we come and we're like, hey, it doesn't matter like whether I agree. You know, I'm reading a book. I'm like, I don't agree with that. I don't think it's right. Then I don't. No big deal. But when I'm reading the Bible, I don't tell God, I don't agree with you. I'd be like, you're right. From now on, I agree with you. I repent. You guys with me? Help me to now live it out. I just want to read a scripture to you, 2 Timothy 3:16 and 17. Listen to this. All scripture is inspired by God. Everybody say that with me. All scripture is inspired by God. Let's say it one more time. All scripture is inspired by God. One more time. All scripture is inspired by God. Do you believe that? All of it. Old Testament, Leviticus. It's all inspired by God. You know, the genealogies are inspired by the Holy Spirit. Read them. You know what I mean? It's just the whole thing is inspired by God. And if you have that kind of childlike faith, when you come before the Lord, he could speak to you from anywhere in this book, honestly. And that's the other part of approaching God with the right attitude, his word with the right attitude. There's submission. I'm teachable. I'm correctable. I'm coming as a learner. But also we need to read with that this attitude of childlike faith and wonder. And I just want to read this excerpt to you out of my book that I wrote. Because I was reading it the other day. I'm like, I like the way I wrote it, actually. So I'll just read it instead of try to say it the same way. So hang with me, okay? I'm going to read a few paragraphs. Are y'all doing okay? All right. When we read the Bible through the eyes of a child, nothing is impossible. The Bible becomes fun again, leading us into wonderful adventures with God. Every promise is embraced with hope. Every miracle testifies of what we can experience. And the Father can always be trusted to do what he said. When reading the Bible with childlike faith and wonder, we dare to dream, hope, and believe God to experience the wonders described in Scripture. When I read that Philip the evangelist was instantly transported to another geographic location in Acts 8, I think, wow, God, I want to experience that. When I read that Paul and the Apostle John were allowed to go to heaven before they died, you know what the Bible says that? I ask God to do that for me too. Honestly, I've prayed that many times. When I read about the great revival that took place in the city of Ephesus through Paul's ministry in Acts 19, my heart begins burning for God to do that same thing in my region of the country. When I read in Acts 9 that the entire cities of Lydda and Sharon turned to the Lord after witnessing one miracle, then I dream, I work, and I pray for God to do that exact same miracle in my city. Now you understand why I am the way I am. I read the Bible. Those who read the Bible with childlike faith and wonder will have their eyes opened to a whole new world that is beyond the reach of those who think they have experienced all that God has to offer. Those who live in this, see, there's a lot of Bible scholars out there. And they know a lot about the Bible, but they don't have any childlike faith and wonder anymore. So they could tell you details about all kinds of stuff that happened in the Bible, but you ask them, what impossible thing are you believing God for in your life right now? And they may even be like, well, you know, God doesn't do that anymore. I'm like, oh, bummer for you. Because he does. If you get some childlike faith and wonder, which the Bible you know so well tells you to have, if you get some of that, your Bible reading will come alive and you'll start seeing the fruit of it manifest in your own life. I want my life to look like the book of Acts. I want to live a spirit-filled life. I want to raise the dead. You know why I've prayed for the dead to be raised? I have actually prayed over several corpses before to be resurrected. So have you, many of you, which is why I like you guys. You know why? Because I read it in the Bible. Jesus did it. The apostles did it. And Jesus even said that, he said, go out, heal the sick, raise the dead, cleanse those who have leprosy, cast out demons. So I'm like, let's do it. Those who live in this realm of faith see Jesus walking on water and immediately ask, Lord, if it is you, let me walk on the water with you. Then they do the impossible and experience the miraculous with him. We need to read the Bible not only as a history book, but also as a book that shows us who we are and what we can do in the grace of God. So become a kid again. Turn on your imagination when you read the Bible. The Bible not only tells us what God has done, it also prophesies of what God will do through those who believe. Make it your goal to experience the scriptures literally. It is a manual that describes your inheritance in Christ. Never let unbelief and skepticism rob you of your inheritance. Grab your childlike faith and wonder, make your Bible reading plan, and begin encountering God in the scriptures. Amen. So we got to approach the word with the right attitude. Number three, as you're reading the Bible, you start reading it, right? You're reading a passage. Have a pen with you. How many of you have heard me tell you this before? I tell pretty much everybody I ever disciple, I tell them this. I told Jordan this, didn't I? Just in the last few weeks. Didn't I tell you this? Have a pen with you when you read the Bible, right? So I tell them, I'm like, man, get a pen with you. And when you're reading it and something stands out to you, underline it. And then make notes in the margin of your Bible. Write a prayer or write a thought about that verse that you underlined. And if you'll interact with the Bible that way by journaling, highlighting, you know, some, my wife likes to highlight. I like pens. Doesn't matter. Mark that thing up. I'm serious. Mark it up. And when your margins are all full, get a new Bible and mark it up and fill it up. And you know what? It's like the chronicle of your history with God. I have so many Bibles that are filled with notes. And I love it. I'm like, I could look back through almost any season of my life and tell you what God was speaking to me just by getting out the old Bible that I was reading then. How many of you do that when you read the Bible? Good. I encourage everybody to do it. Trust me, experiment with it. Take 2 weeks, and when you're reading the Bible, say, I am going to write at least one sentence of what I learned from that chapter that or whatever you're reading that day. And if you'll do that, you will get so much more out of your Bible reading and experiencing God. Just that one simple thing. I promise. Test me in this. Number four, talk to God about what you read in the Bible. Talk to God about what you read in the Bible. So, you know, you'll have things that you'll read, and I mean, it could be so simple. I've had times like I read something in the Bible, and I'll just say, "I like that. That's pretty cool. That was awesome." Or God will do a miracle in the Bible. And have you ever had this happen? You'll read about a miracle he does for somebody in the Bible, the way he came through for Israel or something like that. And it feels like it's a fresh testimony that he just did for somebody. And I just like to tell him, like, that was awesome. Good job. That was amazing. Like knuckles. Like fist bump. Like almost feels like that. Like, that was awesome. Like, I love that, what you did right there. And we just talk to him about it. Tell him, I praise him for what he did, for the testimonies that you read in the Word. Or you read something, a command, it tells you to do something. Love God with all your heart. Then talk to him. Say, God, I will do this. I set my heart. I will love you with my whole heart. Then ask, now help me. Like, help me actually do this. I set my heart to do it, but I need your help. Help me to love you with all my heart. And then I just keep reading. Or you read something that it's not a command to obey, but it's something to believe. It's an exhortation of a truth to believe, you know, like God is love. And then I just like to stop right then and say, God, thank you that you are loving. The Lord is gracious and compassionate. He's slow to anger and abounding in love. I like to just stop and say, thank you that you're slow to anger. Like, that's really beneficial for me. Thank you that you're abounding in love. Holy Spirit, make this more real to me. And then I just keep reading. You guys with me? But if you'll actually use the Bible as conversation material to have a conversation with God, your experiences with him will increase dramatically. Okay. And then I'm gonna have you guys practice that. Does that sound good? So I want you to read Psalm 1. I'm going to give you 5 minutes. It's on your notes, Psalm 1 is. So I'm going to give you 5 minutes. Literally, I'm setting my timer right now. And you guys got a pen? So I want you to walk through those first four steps that I just told you. Just right now, just take 5 seconds and say, Holy Spirit, help me understand what I'm about to read. Let me hear your voice. Let me hear your voice. Help me understand it. And then start reading it. Highlight, underline the things that stand out to you. Make notes in the margins. And we're just going to do that for 5 minutes, and then we'll continue after that. So ready, set, go. So how many of you underlined something in there? Awesome. So, yeah, keep your hand up. I want to see who you're reading and you underlined something. Okay. What did Jesse, what did you underline? What phrase or what verse did you underline? All the joys of those who do not follow the advice of the wicked, who stand around with sinners and join in. Okay. Oh, the joys of those who do not follow the advice of the wicked or stand around with sinners or join in with mockers. Awesome. What did you like about that? Why'd you underline it? Awesome. The recipe for joyfulness. Come on. That's good. It's like, so he wants to be joyful. He wrote that in his margin. I want to be joyful. And it's like the recipe for a joyful life right there. That's awesome, man. So I'll just tell you this, like you just heard the voice of God. You just heard God talking to you. He just said to you, Jesse. Now imagine an angel standing in front of you. God just told me to come and tell you that he wants you to have a joyful life, and here's how to do it. Don't join in with mockers. Don't walk in the way of sinners and whatever the other third one was. And he's like, if you do that, you'll have a joyful life. I mean, come on. Now think about that. What if an angel came to you and stood in front of you and said, here's the way to do it? But it's the same exact thing when you read the Bible. God just said it to you. You guys with me? It doesn't feel dramatic, but I promise you this, if you'll receive that word and put it into practice, the results of it in your life will be supernatural. He just heard the voice of God. You just heard the voice of God in what you read. So, man, I'm telling you, you want to have experiences with God, read the Bible every single day and mark that thing up, underline the stuff, and talk to God about what you're reading. It's that simple, honestly. I wish I could make every person in the world do this, but I can't. I can just beg you over and over again. But really, I don't want you dependent upon my preaching to be able to walk with God. You need to know God's word for yourself. You need to hide his word in your heart so that you will not sin against him. Psalm 119, that's what it says. You guys with me? And so I want to equip disciples that know the word. I'm not always going to be with you. And I don't have all wisdom for every situation you're going to be in. You'd be like, Jeff, Pastor Jeff, what should I do in this situation? There's situations I'm like, I don't know. What does God say? Like, read the Bible. I got situations I don't know what to do in. I have to talk to God, go to the Bible. Are you with me? And I want to equip you that you know God and you know his voice and you know his word. Because then when you're alone and temptations and trials and challenges and hardships and opportunities come from the Lord, you're able to discern to what God's voice says and do it. Amen? All right. So last thing I want to tell you is this. Number 5 is make a Bible reading plan. You want to know one of my dreams in life is that I would have a church where literally every single person has a Bible reading plan and does it every day. reads the Bible. Here's why a plan is important, because you will read the Bible much more if you make an intentional plan with goals. Really true. See, here's what happens. It's like, I remember, you know, I always would hear this exhortation. You got to read the word. I'm like, I got to read the word. If I'm ever going to be a man of God, I have to read the Bible every day. And so I try to do it. And I thank God for that. It kept it the vision before me, so I'd keep after it. And but when I, like, this practical thing, sometimes we get so stirred up. We'll hear a message like this, and we're like, yes, I'm going to do it. But then we kind of, you know, for a few days, we read the Bible. But then in 2 weeks, it's like we kind of, the message fades a little bit, and life is happening, and we don't feel as stirred up and inspired, and we just get away from it. But if you just make a plan, an intentional plan with goals, it says, here's my goal for 2019. I'm going to read the Bible, and I'll help you make a Bible reading plan right now. But I'll tell you this, if you make a plan, you're not going to hit it 100% of the time, probably. But that's okay, because life happens, you know, that's okay. But if you aim at it, then over the course of the next year, by the end of 2019, you will have read the Bible significantly more than if you didn't have a plan and you were just kind of going. When you felt stirred up, you read it a lot. And then when you didn't feel stirred, you kind of didn't read it. And then a couple months later, you get stirred again. And you'll be so sporadic that way. But if you'll just say, I'm going to make a plan. And you may not hit it perfectly, but I promise you, you will read the Bible. You'll spend hours and hours and hours and hours in the Word by the end of the year. So here's the three parts of a Bible reading plan. And I'm going to just have you answer these questions right now. So I have it on your sheet. I want you to write your Bible reading plan down. Number one, when are you going to read the Bible each day? There's no right time or wrong time that's for everybody. Just when do you, what works best for you? What works best for your schedule? When is the time of day when you feel the most alert? No, seriously, that's usually a good thing. If you can do that, try to pick that time of day. When I first got saved, I read the Bible at night before I went to bed. I was so disciplined, actually. As a young man, I mean, I would go to bed at 10 o'clock every single night. On my own, I didn't have to, but I would. And I would go to bed early, I'd read the Bible, and then I'd fall asleep. That was my thing. Now, I do it in the mornings. It's my main time when I read the Bible. First thing when I get up in the morning is I read the Bible and pray. But you can do it in the middle of the day. It doesn't matter. Just make sure you do it. Do you guys got it written down? When? Okay, good. Number two, how much of the Bible are you going to read every day? Or another way to say that is, how long are you going to read the Bible each day? So you can choose. You can set a goal for how many chapters. Like, I'm going to read 3 chapters a day. That's my goal. That's great. You can do it that way. Or you can say, I'm going to read 30 minutes a day, or 15 minutes a day, or an hour a day. You can set a time goal. So you can do time or a chapter goal. Either way is fine. Whatever you like best. I've done it both ways. And I've gone back and forth, and it doesn't matter. The goal is just that you have a plan and you're going for it. So you can do it either way. So I want you to write down right now, how much of the Bible are you going to read every day? Pick a time amount or pick a chapter goal. And by the way, if you want to jump in with us, we're reading through the Bible together as a church right now. I think on the table out there, is there a worksheet on the table with a Bible reading plan? Is it out there on the table? Well, you go to the church website, jamesriverchurch.com. Just click on the church calendar on the website. And on that every day, it's the 3 chapters. We read 3 chapters a day, 2 out of the Old Testament, 1 out of the New. We're all, you know, reading it together, those of us who are doing it. And if you're like, man, I don't know, what should I read first? I just say, jump in with us. Don't worry about that. Oh, I missed the whole first part. Don't worry. Just jump in where you are. We'll come around again and we'll get to it. Right? Or you can set a different goal if you have it on your heart to do something different. That's fine too. Do you have it written down? Okay, number 3. What are you going to read in the Bible every day? And this is so important, because it's not like You know, you don't want to like, okay, I'm going to spend 30 minutes reading the Bible, and then you come in, you're like, what am I going to read today? And it's like, Mark chapter 8. Okay, well, I read that last week. Never mind. What should I read? What about Leviticus? I heard Leviticus was really cool. Pastor Jeff talked about Leviticus. You know, and you read, like, whoa, never mind. I don't understand. That's like, what? What are those laws? What? I don't know. What about the book of Revelation? I heard that was interesting. And like, what? That's great. What? What does that mean? Pause. What about the life of Jesus? And you just like, if you do that, you just waste so much time. And read the Bible like you would any other book. It's actually a library of 66 different books. So I would encourage you, start at the beginning and just read it through systematically, straight through to the end. Then go back to the beginning and do it again for the rest of your life. It's the best way to read it. Don't just be like, well, today I'm going to read Exodus 12, verse 3. Yes, that was a good word. Tomorrow, Revelation 12, verse 3. Yes. The next day, Genesis 14, verse 6. And if you just jump all over, you're not going to understand it as well. Okay? I mean, you can get stuff out of that. But you'll understand it better if you just read the whole thing through, do it for the rest of your life. And the more you do it, the better you'll understand the big picture of what's happening, the storyline. You'll understand the individual parts better and better. So that's when I say, what are you going to read each day? Number three is, where are you going to start? So tomorrow, when you do this tomorrow, where are you going to read tomorrow? What book of the Bible, what chapter are you going to read? I could tell you right now what I'm going to read. Tomorrow, today I read in the book of Luke, chapter something. I don't know what chapter I was on, but my bookmark is there. I'm going to pick up right where I stopped today and read there tomorrow, Luke chapter 6 tomorrow. I'm also going to read in Leviticus, right where I left off today. You guys with me? And so I know every day I don't have to think about what I'm going to read. I just go to where my bookmark was and I keep reading. Now you have a Bible reading plan. How many, that's doable. Can you do that? Okay. Set your goal and do it. What if this year, we're going to pray now. What if you committed in your heart, like this year, I'm going to become a person of the word. And I'm going to stay that way for the rest of my life. I'm starting it this year. I'm actually going to do it this year. I'm going to quit like growing up in the church and I know all about this. And of course, I know in the back of my mind, I feel a little guilty. I should do better at this. I'm like, why don't you just say, I'm doing it. I'm actually going to do it. Like, this is a year. There's got to be a time when you just say, okay, it's not just going to magically happen someday. It's not just going to be like all of a sudden, like one year, the Spirit will come on you and the anointing of Bible reading will take over your life. It's not going to happen. What's going to happen? Probably it could happen. But what's going to happen is you just make a powerful decision like, this is who I'm going to be. I'm going to be a person of the Word. And I'm starting today. And you got a plan. All you do is walk that out and stick with it. Persevere. You're not going to do it perfectly every day, and that's okay. But often, I'll tell you this, Bible reading starts as a discipline that sometimes feels boring. There's times you read it and it's like, okay, well, I did it. I didn't really feel like I got much out of that. But I'll tell you this, you did get something out of it. You may not perceive it in the moment, but you'll perceive it later. There's been many times where all of a sudden I'm in a situation and a scripture comes to mind that I read a long time ago and I know exactly what to do in the situation. And so you are always getting something out of it. But I'll tell you, it starts as a discipline, but if you'll persist in it, this habit of reading the Bible will actually become one of the most important, enjoyable, favorite parts of your whole life. Many times we sit down at the dinner table. My family does, in the evening. And we'll go around and we'll say, what was the best part of your day? So many times it was my time in the Word that morning. So many times I was like, I had a good time with God today. In the Word was amazing. It's become one of my very favorite things. I can't imagine trying to live without this in my life. And I can't imagine how anybody could make it in Jesus without this. So why don't you stand with me? Let's just pray, and I want to do two things. I want to commit to be a person of the Word and ask God for grace to persevere in it. Does that sound good? How many of you want to do that right now? You just raise your hand and say, I'm going to be a person of the Word. Yeah. Okay. That means you're committing to just read the Bible every day. Okay. Let's just ask the Holy Spirit. Let's say that to the Lord. So Holy Spirit, I just say thank you for the Bible. I ask that you would inspire and strengthen us to read the Word regularly for the rest of our lives. God, help us to hide your Word in our hearts so that we will know who you are and how to relate to you properly. Father, I ask that you would teach us your ways so that we may know you better. Give us a passion and love for your Word. Strengthen us to believe and to love and obey you through your Word. God, encounter us in your Word every single day. Everybody just say this to the Lord. Just say this to me. Say, Jesus, I commit to be a person of the Word. I commit to reading the Word regularly and believing and obeying it. In Jesus' name. Now we're going to ask him for something. Holy Spirit, move on my heart. Inspire me to follow through on this commitment. Give me perseverance. In Jesus' name, amen. All right. Good job. Love you guys. Here's the deal. I want to just say this. We're going to go next week. Winter is going to be preaching the Word. It's going to be awesome. My family and I will be gone. We're going to be in Orlando next week. So I will be at the beach next week on Sunday. Enjoy the snow. I love you all. Yeah. Autumn told me to tell you we'd be at the send. So